Let's go to God's Word. Here we go. So we got coming, man. Appreciate it. And got a good message today. I'm in a series called Passionate. And buddy, I'm going to just kind of push it. Just go ahead and push me on up a little bit. Passionate. It's what we've been talking about, the passion of Jesus. I'd like just for you to listen again. A lot of times I'll have you say stuff, and you will, but I just want you to hear this. I just want you just to let it sink in. We get so busy, so hard-headed sometimes. Just listen. Jesus has a fervent love, a deep devotion, and an intense love for you and for me. Let it sink in. Jesus has a profound, intense enthusiasm and zeal for who? For us. Let it sink in. We need that. Like a bath. You hear me? Jesus' love for us is overwhelming. It's what? What's that next word? It's what? It's enthusiastic, and it's even what? How could you call it anything but? You can't look at Passion Week and what He did and coming and being born and living to die so that we could be saved. That's called extreme, amen? So, couple of scriptures here. Why don't you say this one with me? I have favorite scriptures. And you might see some of them reappear sometimes on the screen. But boy, they changed my life. This is a great scripture. This is sometimes people's life verse. This one right here. Say it with me. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now take a break. Keep going. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. How many think that's a pretty nice scripture right there? Come on, I like that scripture right there. Amen. Our message today, keep pushing. I want you to see three or four things out of this verse. First of all, we're to look to Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And we're just setting the table now. We're getting ready for the message. We're just setting the table. We need to look to Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. But three things, when you look up the word passion or passionate, you might get a little bit different definition. I mingled it together with Jesus and His love and what I know about Him from the Bible. And so here's the definition of Jesus' love. That is this. Jesus, He was passionate for you. He is passionate for you. He has a fervent love for you. Can you say fervent love? He has a deep devotion for you. Would you say that? Deep devotion. And He is intensely emotional about you. Would you say that? He's intensely emotional about you. Don't you see this scripture now again? Don't just look at the scripture again. So we're to look to Jesus. If we want passion, the title of my message is coming up. It's called The Transference of Passion. I want His passion. I want Him flowing through me. And it's amazing as I look at it from this angle, I see passion and I see that definition in different verses now that I never saw before. And here's one of them. So I'm to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And say that part in the blue with me. Who for the what? That word again is what? Who for the what? That was set before Him. Who do you think the joy was that was set before Him? Take a wild guess. You. That's fervent love. See that right there? Am I losing you? Who for the joy that was set before Him. He had a fervent love for us. You mean you went to the cross, Lord, and you were looking at me? You were seeing me? Yeah, I was seeing you, man. Me? Sinful me? The guy that raised his whole life to cuss your name? Me? Angry, mean? wanted to hurt people even as a kid. I would have been that criminal. I believe it. But Jesus loved me. Amen. Fervent love. Fervent love. Look at that next part. He endured the cross, despising the shame. He endured the cross, despising the shame. You know what that sounds like to me? Deep devotion. So what's passion? Wait a minute. It's fervent love. Okay, but it's something else. It's deep devotion. Does that sound like deep devotion or not? Yes, am I the only one seeing this? Look at that. He endured the cross and he what? Despised the shame, but he endured that cross. He is deeply devoted. Oh, if I don't just do right, he'll stop loving me. You're so stupid. Stop. Stop. You never did anything for him to love you. Give him the credit. Stop thinking I can make it happen. No. You hear me? All God has is sinners to work with, guys. Now, that's not to mean we shouldn't love him. And it does say that when you love Jesus, Jesus says, the Father loves you. But then he says this, and we'll make our abode in you. There's no doubt about it. As we walk with the Lord, as we love him, we'll have his presence felt more in our life because we're yielding ourselves to him. Yes or no? But that's not what drives him to love you. He loves you because he loves you. Amen? How many had somebody in your life and they just loved you because they loved you? Can I see some hands? How many had some people in your life, they loved you because they loved you, but you probably gave them reason not to? How many of that was your mother? Let me see some hands. Yeah, there you go. Let's look at the third part of that definition. So passion is a fervent love. Jesus has a fervent love for us. Jesus has a deep devotion for us. Let's look at that last part of that verse. And he's what right now? He's what? He's set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It also says in Hebrews, we might see the verse in a minute, that he's at the right hand of God the Father. How many knows this scripture? Where he ever lives to do what? Make intercession for us. So Jesus is praying for me right now at the right hand of God the Father. That sounds like intense emotion for me. He's rooting for me. He's on my side. He cares for me. He hurts for me. When I hurt, he hurts. Do you hear me? So I see passion in that verse. Amen? And there's that verse right at the end. Jesus, look at that. Seeing he ever what? Lives to make intercession for us. So we're getting somewhere in the message. Now, it's not going to be too long if I'll hush. But Jesus has, say it out loud with me. Say it out loud. A. For me. Jesus has a. For me. And number three, Jesus has what? Wow. You hear a verse like, cast all your care upon me, because I care for you. To me, when I see something like that, it makes more sense for me to do it now. Amen. Why wouldn't I pray? Yeah, but you don't know what I've done. Listen. When somebody has a fervent love for you, when somebody has a deep devotion for you, when somebody is intentionally emotional for you, I'm telling you, you can talk to them. Amen. They're not judging you. We're condemned already. Yes or no? He came to seek and to save that which was what? Lost. Now we need to put our faith in him. You won't go to heaven without Christ, period. You must believe in him. But he loves you so much. He has a passion for you. And I want this in my life. I want this. I'm going to tell you right now, I have it. Now, I'm not putting myself above anybody. I'm just saying, I know me. I know who I was. I know how he's grown me in my life. And I have a passion. I'm a passionate person. But that passion comes from the Lord. But our passion can be both good and bad. Yes or no, amen. How many, one more time, your passion led you to a ditch somewhere in your life? You were so passionate, man, it just screwed you up. So we're created with passion. But I think when we know how passionate He is about us, and we start to see that, it can certainly help our passion to get in line and to be the right thing. Amen? And so I want it transferred. That's the title of my message, the transference of passion. The transference of passion. I looked that up in the dictionary. I thought, is transference even a word? I mean, I make up words all the time. We do that in the South. We're just funny like that. But I said, transference. I'm in my office. And then I look it up and look at that. It's in there. Well, I want His fervent love, His deep devotion for people, and His intense emotion for people. I want that transferred to me. Say that out loud. I want that what? I want that transferred to me. One more time. I want that transferred to me. This is Passion Week. This is Passion Sunday, they call it. Passion Sunday. This is where you can see Jesus' love on full display all this week. Amen. I want fervent love, deep devotion, and I want intense emotion for people. I want it with my wife. I want it with my children. I want it with our staff at Fellowship Church. I want them to know no matter what it is, no matter what it is, Pastor Gary's going to be there for them. You know what I'm saying? What if they screw up? What if they do wrong? I want to be there for them. You hear me or not? You going to kick them in the teeth? No. Might pop them upside the head as I put my arm around them. I want, Lord, transfer Your fervent love through me. Lord, transfer Your deep devotion through me. Lord, transfer Your intense emotion through me. And guys, I think He has. I think He's been doing it in my life. Does that mean, wow, you must have had just a great life then? No. No. See, love, buddy. I mean, I don't even know if it's love if everything's great. Y'all hear me or not? I mean, who can't get along with everybody's just always, hey? What about when times are tough? What about it when people are rude? What about when tough situations? What about when you've been betrayed? Yes or no, amen. That passion can go the other way. Yes or no, amen. I want this kind of passion, Lord. And He's been working on me, helping me. So Jesus has a fervent love for me. I want you to see it again. For the joy that was set before Him. Say those next words in blue. He what? He what? Say that out loud one more time. Jesus did what? How could God love me and let this happen? You're a nut. You did it or somebody else did it to you. He didn't do it. Amen. He denied Himself for me. Keep looking. He has a deep devotion for me. We already saw it. He endured the cross, despised the shame. But wait a minute. Say that blue with me. He what? He's changed His life for who? For mine. Have you ever said, He died for me? Have you ever said that before? Jesus died for me? He exchanged His life for my life. Well, why shouldn't you have to go to the cross, Gary? Because it wouldn't have done no good. I deserve to die. He's holy, holy, holy. I ain't. He didn't die for Himself. He died for me. Got it? Keep looking. He has an intense emotion for me. So He's sat down right hand at the right hand of the throne of God where He prays for me right now. Say that blue with me. He's what? He's not ashamed of me. I'm not God. But I'm made in God's image. I can do godly things. Can't we? When I was on that trip with Mitch, I had no idea he was going to do that today. No idea. Elise had been praying for him. He had gone through a real hard time. When you have a home and it gets broke up, it ain't just the the husband and the wife that suffer. Who else suffers? Well, yeah, but he's older. He's like 18. No. I don't know if that ain't even harder. They've got more years. It wasn't just that. But he grew up as a pastor's kid his whole life. And his grandfather was a pastor. And sometimes they can go through things that other kids really sometimes don't go through. I'm going to just tell you, it's just the truth. They're put on a pedestal. They're judged. If I'd have smacked the people upside the mouth that I wanted to all the years of Mitch growing up, there'd be a lot of people with some missing teeth in their face. You hear me? And so he got to a dark spot, a dark place. But I can honestly say, I never gave up on him. That's not a credit to me. That's the love of God flowing through a daddy. Amen. And it's just beautiful. It's beautiful to see. And the first time Mitchell sang for the Lord again, was after that trip. Yeah. He sang the national anthem. We're at the high school, and he sang the national anthem on a Sunday morning for a special patriotic service we had. That's the first time he came back into the spotlight again. And his sister, Elise, was behind the curtain just crying. Her prayers looked like they might be answered. Amen. Passion. Good for us, isn't it? I want this. And again, not to boast, but I have this. I've tasted, the Bible says, and seen that the Lord is what? Good. See what I'm saying? I think we ought to say that sometimes. Lord, thank you. Thank you for helping me do this, helping me be this way, helping me forgive, helping me love, helping me do. You know, you hear what I'm saying? Not to brag, no. But to give him credit, passion. Got to quit. You ready, Raj? When he called the people unto him with his disciples, he said unto them, whosoever come after me, let him deny himself. That's what Jesus did for us. He denied himself. And take up his cross, you and me. We're to follow him now. Yes or no? We're to have his passion. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for what? My sake. And the gospel shall find it. Read that verse with me right there. The transference of passion. Say it with me. Verse 35. For whosoever will save his life shall what? Lose it. But here's the transference. Say it with me. But whosoever will what? Lose his life for. And the gospel, he shall what? Do you feel the transference in that verse? As I take his cross on me. As I have a fervent love for people. As I have a deep devotion for people, as I am intensely emotional for people, as I take his cross and I live my life out in front of people and with people, when I do that and I have his passion transferred upon me, listen, read that, give me that verse again, right there at the end. When I lose my life, when I give my life, I want you to transfer this passion, your passion into me, not my passion anymore, but you and me. And I lose my life for you, Jesus. And I lose my life for the gospel. That's when I can find my life. Isn't that kooky or what? I sound like I've been smoking something, right? The transference of passion. What will it profit a man if he gain the whole world, lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The transference of passion. Whosoever therefore shall be what? Was Jesus ashamed of me, yes or no? No. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me, Jesus says, and my words, and this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father and his angels. You want the passion of Christ? Deny yourself. Take up his cross. Follow him. And never be ashamed of Jesus. That's passion. You hear me or not? Well, I can't. I mean, what am I supposed to say? How about live for the Lord? Quit making excuses. You hear me or not? Say, if you'll love your son, you won't love him. If you'll love your wife, you won't love him. Come on, man. Say, Lord, here am I, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. Amen. Say, get some of the crap out of me and let's put some of you in me. Amen. The transference of passion. You might say, where are you going, Clark? A couple of more minutes. Do we know if it's raining? I don't hear it. His cross, when I transfer passion and have his passion in me, his cross becomes what? Passion Sunday becomes something other than just a holiday. This is you and me, Jesus. I'm now the one. You're there praying for me, cheering me on as I walk this life. Flow through me, Lord. Transfer your fervent love, your deep devotion for people. Transfer that intense emotion for people, Lord. Help me show it on my face. Help me say it with my mouth. Amen. I love this. Real fast. I saw it transferred in people in the story of Christ. Real quick. How can I make his cross my cross? I deny myself. I exchange my life's ambition and rights for his. Number three, I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. The transference of passion. His cross becomes my cross. Did it happen? Can I find it in the Bible? Well, there was an ordinary man this week. There was an ordinary man in the Bible. I ain't got all day. Help me. He was Simon of Cyrene. But wait a minute, the Bible. As Jesus was carrying his cross, they found a man of Cyrene. What was his name? And they compelled him to do what? And Jesus' cross was transferred on him. I want that. Say that loud. I what? I want that. I want that. They led him away. They put a hold on him, Luke says, of Simon of Cyrene coming out of his cup. They laid the cross on him that he might do what? Bear it after Jesus. I want to bear that cross for Jesus. We think of the cross as always being pain, and it is, and some shame. Sure it is. But think of it as fervent love, deep devotion, intense emotion for people. Yes or no, amen. Think of it like that. Okay? They compelled one Simon who passed by. Mark says it this way. He was the father of who? And what's that other boy's name? Did you know this passion? He was an ordinary man in the crowd, not a believer in Christ at all. They compelled him to put that cross on him. He started carrying it. It changed his life. That moment forever changed that man. I firmly believe it. Why? Because the Apostle Paul says many, many years later, salute who? Who? Rufus, chosen of the Lord, and his who? Mother and mine. Could it be, I believe it, that Simon of Cyrene's boy saw his daddy carry the cross, and he was forever changed by that moment. The transference of passion. Oh, I got another one. Let's look at another one. Quick, Raj. A criminal man. The thief on the cross. And one of the malefactors, that means criminal. That word actually means very evil person. They were hanged. One of them railed on him. One of the thieves railed, said, if you be the Christ, save yourself and us. And the other thief, criminal, rebuked him and said, do you not fear God? That you're seeing you're in the same condemnation? You and me, thief, we deserve what we get. But this man in the middle, he hadn't done anything wrong. And he said, the criminal man, the evil man, the thief, he said, Jesus, would you sit with me? Remember me when you come into your... And Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, say it with me, today you'll be with me where?" Now listen, listen, listen. Right in front of the crowd, naked, the thief took a stand for Jesus. Wonder how many rocks he got hit with in the head. Wonder how many cussed his name because he stood with Jesus. Right in front of everybody, the passion of Jesus was transferred upon this man. The transference of passion. Have I lost you? Another quick one. A military man, the Roman centurion, he was there at the cross. When the centurion stood over against him, he saw what was done to Christ. And this military man, when he saw Christ die, he cried out, say it with me, "Truly, surely, this man was the who?" The transference of what? Passion. You seeing it or not? I'm seeing it. A fervent love, a deep devotion, intense emotion. It must have been something enough for him to open up his mouth and say, "That's the Son of God!" Amen. How about open your mouth? Another quick one. A wealthy man, Joseph of Arimathea. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, a good man, a just man, is a wealthy man. The same had not consented to the counsel indeed of them. He was of Arimathea, city of the Jews, who also waited for the kingdom of God. This man, say it with me, he went to who? And he did what? He begged for the body of Jesus. Does that sound like passion to you? The transference of passion. And he took him. He wrapped his body, laid it in his own sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherever a man had never been laid. He gave up his own tomb for Christ. The transference of passion, fervent love, deep devotion, intense emotion. Nicodemus was a religious man, a Pharisee. There came Nicodemus. Now we know the story in John, but this is later. Which had first come to Jesus by night, he brought a mixture of myrrh and aloe, and he brought about 100-pound weight. And he, and then they took the body of Jesus, him and Joseph of Arimathea, and maybe others. They wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, the Garden of Gethsemane. And in the garden, a new sepulcher wherein a man had never been laid, Joseph's tomb, a wealthy man. There they laid Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. I got to quit, Raj. Do y'all see the transferring across today with the story? That's what I want. That's what I want. I want to have a fervent love for you. I want to have a deep devotion for Miss Anna at Mama's. I want to have intense emotion for a kid the other day at Culver's. Or where was I at? No, I was at another building somewhere in town. And a kid came down the stairs, had his glasses on. "Hey, coach!" I said, "Pull those glasses off so I can see you." And he was one of our all-star running backs from the high school back in the day. I want to be that kind of guy. You hear me? I want to be a Jesus man. I'll be somebody that Mitch don't put on a pedestal, but he can look to. Say, "My daddy loves me. My daddy loves me." You hear me? Let's thank the Lord for his word. We've got to quit. I got to go. What a crazy day at the Fellowship Church. Yes or no?